Hey, folks, and welcome to Draft Talk on Pittsburgh Sports Live. I'm Alan Saunders. That's Nick Faribault. We're talking 2022 NFL Draft, and today is draft day. The first round starts tonight. Nick and I are going to go through what we think is going to happen on the first round of the 2022 NFL Draft, and then we'll kind of go forward and see what we think the Steelers are going to do after that. So this is going to be like a hybrid mock draft, first round and then a Steelers mock. We're going to try to predict what we think is going to be available when the Steelers pick, and then we'll go forward and sort of pick out the rest of what we think the Steelers might do going forward after that. Nick, this feels to me like a very, very, very unsettled NFL draft. When you're looking about this first round and trying to do a first round mock, like, I don't have any idea who the first round pick is going to be. I think it's going to be one of the edge rushers. I feel pretty confident about that. But I mean, by now we usually have a pretty good idea of not only who's going to be first, but kind of who's going to be first, second, third, what the general order is. I don't feel like we have any idea. And there are players whose range of draft is still very wide. Players like all three of the tackles that could go to the top of the first round. I think they could go one and they could go 15. I feel like that about Malik Willis too, where he could be anywhere from a top five pick to still there when the Steelers pick at 20. One of these edge rushers could be the number one overall pick and could fall all the way to 9 or 10. And so I think this is a very difficult draft class to mock. I don't feel like we have a good read on what a lot of teams are doing. I also think there are going to be a lot of trades tonight. There's a lot of teams. I believe there's 8 teams with multiple first round picks. That really lends itself to a lot of trading, even though, of course, you already had to do a lot of trading to get there, but it really lends itself to a lot of trading. And I think there are a lot of teams where their needs just don't seem to fit with where the Steelers, with where they are in the draft. The Steelers want a quarterback. They're way back at 20. You know, like the Panthers seem to like Kenny Pickett, but they're all the way up at 6. That's just 2 examples. I think there are a lot of those, though, where teams are not really lined up with what their needs are for the draft. I think we're going to see a lot of trades. I think it's going to be a very interesting night. I mean, it's not like the world's like craziest draft class. I don't think it's like incredible talent at the top, but it's going to be, I think, one of the more interesting first rounds we've had in a while.
Most unpredictable draft in a while, maybe a decade. I mean, legitimately, I mean, I can't remember the last time we didn't know the first overall pick this late into the process, because even in 2018, when Baker Mayfield went first overall, you know, it was a question who was going to be the first overall pick, but that leaked out about 2 or 3 days before the draft. And yet the Jaguars pick still hasn't leaked out. So, I mean, we are T-minus 7 hours away from the Jaguars being on the clock, and we still don't know who their first overall pick is going to be. That's just rare. Usually you know who it's going to be, because usually it's a quarterback. So usually it's a lot easier. But this year, there's no quarterback worth it, and that, I think, has shaken up kind of everything. And because no one knows what's going to happen at the top, no one knows what's going to happen down the board. And that's kind of the fun thing about it, is you're playing Russian roulette with everything. You don't really know who is going to go where. Some teams, you don't even know what position they're going to pick. So it's pretty fun. Honestly, it is pretty fun.
Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do today is we're going to try to go through the top of the first round and see. I think we'll do it collaboratively, but maybe we'll strongly disagree. Maybe we'll put it separately, but just who we think is going to go in what order tonight and who we expect to be available by the time the Steelers pick at number 20. We'll just go team by team here. And let's start with Jacksonville. I mean, I feel very strongly that it's going to be one of the three edge rushers. It seems like the recently popular pick has not been – it's just been Trayvon Walker from Georgia. I feel like Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan was the guy that early on the process most people expected to go here. What are your thoughts?
I think Trayvon Walker is going to be the pick here. That's personally what I think. I think he's caught the storm of the athletic wave, if you will, the upside ability of him. And the tape is also really good. So I think he's kind of matched the tape with the athletic upside. I think teams are going to want that, because Hutch, while he's a really good athlete, has some limited pass rush moves. And so people aren't going to love that the repertoire is not completely there. And Tibbs, you know, Thibodeau is a really great athlete and has like scary bend. But there's obviously some questions. I don't think they're valid, but we've heard the questions. Does he love football? And you know, some teams will take that seriously. Unfortunately, someone's leaking it out. And so I think Trayvon Walker is kind of going to end up being the first overall pick here, thanks to his all around upside. And I think that recent surge is going to be what happens.
I agree. I don't actually like that process, but I agree. I think I would I think I'd rather have Hutchinson. And honestly, I think that the tackles provide really good value for Jacksonville, just lined up with their team needs. But I think they need to capture the attention of their fan base a little bit. I'm not sure a tackle does that in the same way a talented edge rusher does. I also have questions about, like, Walker's tape is really good, but it's also a tape that's full of other first round draft picks on his defense. Mm-hmm. Like, if you compare that to Hutchinson or Thibodeau, where they're kind of the only guy that every other team has spent their entire week preparing for, and they're still able to be as productive as they were. You don't really see that from Walker. I mean, it's not fair because he didn't have that opportunity, but I think it provides a question mark as well. But I agree. I think the Jags are going to go with Trayvon Walker. There's also like a pretty good overlap between the Georgia fan base and the Jacksonville Jaguars fan base. They're in very North Florida. So this will be a player that's pretty popular with their fan base, I think, and will engender them some goodwill after, you know, obviously struggling for a little while. So I agree. I think that's the pick, and I think a pretty easy one. Let's move to the Detroit Lions at number two.
I think this one's tough. I think it comes down to two players in Hutchinson and Thibodeau here. And I actually lean Thibodeau here. I think Thibodeau is going to be the pick. And I know that's kind of weird because Hutch is the hometown kid, if you will, coming from Ann Arbor. But Thibodeau has that type of athleticism you just don't find. And again, not that Hutchinson doesn't have that athleticism, but Thibodeau has a more vast arsenal. He's a guy that has the size to play up and down the line. He's got the speed. He's got the power. It feels like at times Hutch is just a power rusher.
I mean, I agree with that. And I think Thibodeau is probably the better draft pick, but Dan Campbell wants some guys to bite kneecaps. And that is Hutchinson, not Thibodeau. Like, he's a coach that cares a lot about that love football. That matters to him. That is the personality he's been trying to inflect in that team. I think combined with that, the fact that he's a Michigan guy, I don't know. I think I have a very hard time seeing them go with a different edge rusher.
I think we're having the same debate they are having.
Yeah. And
I think Brad Holmes is a Thibodeau guy. That's my take. I think Holmes is a Thibodeau guy, and I think Campbell's probably a Hutch guy. And I usually think the GM wins those battles. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I think Thibodeau. So I think Thibodeau is going to end up being the pick here. That's my take on it. And I think that they're going to be able – I don't think Dan Campbell, as much as he likes to bite kneecaps and all that, I think he'll love Thibodeau's kind of athletic upside and traits that he has. And I think they've done enough work on him to where they're comfortable taking Thibodeau. And I think that's where – I think he'll go here. I think Kayvon's going to be the pick.
I don't know, man. I don't see the Lions passing up Hutchinson. I just don't.
Well, regardless, but I'll pick Thibodeau. You can pick Hutch. And, you know, there's our first disagreement.
Boom. All right. Now, this is a very interesting one because I think the Houston Texans could go – essentially infinity directions with this pick, and you know, because they no shortage of needs on that team, and also a wide open board here because you still have one of the top three edge rushers, tackle. I think this is the first place where you could really start to see Derek Stingley from LSU or another one of the corners go. I think this is the first place you could see Malik Willis go off the board, the first place you could see Jameson Williams or another wide receiver go off the board. Really, a number of different positions. Kyle Hamilton probably also starts to come into realistic consideration here. This, to me, is the place where this draft can go really off the rails.
It could, and I think it does. I think Derek Stingley is going to be the pick here. That's my take. I think Stingley's going to be the pick. We've heard that smoke coming out. This has been a huge thing in about the last recent few days where Derek Stingley at three of the Texans has been picking up a lot of steam. They think he's the corner one, the athletic upside, the physical upside. They're banking on what he brought. And the athletic upside's there. The tape is phenomenal, in my opinion. Again, I love what Derek Stingley brings. He's my corner one. I'd fully support this pick. I think they're going to pick Derek Stingley. That's my take here. I'm picking Derek Stingley. I know, you know, Hutch is on the board, and that's probably going to be really I think that's going to be tempting for them. I think for you, I think Thibodeau is also going to be tempting for them. I don't think they love Laremy Tunsil. So I think a tackle is also kind of tempting, but I think that's a year away and they're not necessarily going to draft a year away out. So I think, you know, you go to their biggest need and they need corner really bad. That's a huge need for them. And so, I mean, if they think Derek Stingley is the best corner, I think they take him.
I agree. I'm totally on board with this pick. I think he's the best corner. I think he's a player they're comfortable with. And I think, you know, they do have needs elsewhere, including on the defensive line. But I think this just makes the secondary is one of the biggest holes on that team, and I think this really shores it up in a significant way. I'm totally on board with that. Let's move to the New York Jets at four, the first of those teams I talked. Well, I guess the Texans also have two picks. They're 3 and 13. The Jets at 4 and 10, two picks in the top 10. And they're going to get a very interesting choice here. One of the top edge rushers falling to them, and also their pick of the litter at tackle. Which way do you see them going here?
I think tackle. And I say that because we've heard the smoke about Mekhi Becton in recent days, where he's apparently not going to play another snap. And if that's the case, well, you have George Fant on one side, which they're working a long-term deal with him this offseason. But if you're going to trade Mekhi Becton, well, you now have a huge hole at offensive tackle. And it just so happens you're on the board with all three of the tackles on the board. So to me, this screams to me a spot where if they are going with a Mekhi Becton-like player, I think the pick is so obvious. I think Ike Ekwonu makes a lot of sense here for them. Again, though, when you talk about the edge rushers, you and I both have Tibbs and Hutch on the board right now. I have Hutch, you have Tibbs. I think that's also very, very, I guess, enticing for them to look at. I think Sauce Gardner is also very enticing to look at this early as well. I mean, if they really want to go off the rails, try one of the wide receivers here. I think that's more likely with one of their
Jameson Williams is a good pick here, I think. But I agree with Ekwonu, and especially because, okay, let's say things work out with Becton. It's not that big of a stretch for me to move Ekwonu to guard either. I really think that that's a safe pick for them. They have two first rounders, so they get another one of these guys. That's why I don't think wide receiver makes a lot of sense for them here, because the tackles are going to go. The Giants have two picks after this spot. They're going to take one of those tackles, certainly. I don't think the Jets should feel good about one of those tackles being available at 10, but I think they should feel good about still getting a really good wide receiver at 10. So I think receiver definitely waits. This feels like either tackle or corner to me, but I like Ike Ekwonu. I love the fit. I just think he's a perfect player for the Jets in this situation.
Yep, and so I'm going Ike here personally. I think that's who they're going to pick. I think he fits what they want to do. So Ike Ekwonu is probably the guy I think they pick.
The Giants have 5 and 7 now, and to me, with two of the top three tackles on the board and only one of the edge rushers, whichever one of them you decide it is, the edge goes here at number 5.
That's the question, though. Do they want their pick of one of the two, or do they have a strong preference for one or the other? Because we've heard about, this is when this gets a little tricky. We've heard about the recent smoke about Evan Neal falling down the board. Now, some of that's kind of bogus with all the medical stuff and that he didn't show up the medical rechecks, whatever. But there has been legitimate tread that Evan Neal has fallen down the board. So is Charles Cross OT2 across all these boards? And if that's the case, Charles Cross is going to be the pick here. If they don't care if it's Neal or Cross, the pick's definitely going to be Hutch or Tibbs for whichever one of us happens to get that. I have to figure out what they, if Nevin Neal's actually falling down board.
There's also no guarantee that the Panthers at 6 are taking a tackle. They could very easily be taking a quarterback. And yes. So I think it's a very easy risk for the Giants to say, we'll take our second choice to tackle to get Tibbs or Hutch, because it's way down there from there to the next edge, whether you like Karloftis or you like someone else. Johnson from Florida State probably is the next one. But to me, I think it's just a huge drop off from there to the next edge. They need pass rushing help. Mm-hmm. I think they'll take whichever of those two guys is on the board here.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they should do. I just don't know if that's what they will do. But I think I'll go with Hutch here. You'll probably go with Tibbs. So they'll come off the board here. I think it's the right move, and that's why I'm doing it, because I trust Joe Schoen in that off front office. I trust him from the Bills. They're usually a smart front office. He's been pretty good with Brandon Bean up there. So I think he'll take Hutch or Tibbs or whoever's here.
Now we go into the Carolina Panthers, and to me, this screams trade down, right? I mean, they've got both quarterbacks available to them. They also have Charles Cross and Evan Neal available to them when they're making this pick. If somebody wants to come up with a quarterback, unless Carolina has a real strong feeling about one over the other, and I honestly think they kind of like Kenny Pickett a lot, who to me I think would be the less likely guy for someone to be trading up to get, this screams, please trade up and take this pick away from us, please. But I don't know if someone will want to do that. This feels like a position where they really want to trade down, but they're kind of going to get stuck here.
Yeah, I think they're going to get stuck here. I don't think there's going to be a lot of teams coming up now. The Steelers could be one of those teams trying to come up here, try and get their guy.
Far for the Steelers.
It does feel too far.
With both quarterbacks still on the board.
Yeah, if both of them are still on the board, I don't think the Steelers are going to feel an urgency to go up and get him. And you and I talked about this. We feel like the Steelers are much more likely to trade up once we get past the Seahawks at 9. So I think if you sit here and you're the Panthers, I think you take Cross. Just me personally, I think you have to take Cross. I like Kenny Pickett. I just don't think he's the type of quarterback you take this early. I don't think that he is, you know, the type of quarterback that is going to 100% be worth a 6th overall pick. I think he's worth it if you trade back, and I think that's what they ideally want to do, is trade back and get Kenny. And maybe there is an opportunity that comes up about this with Evan Neal on the board. Maybe a team wants to come up and get him. You know, like a Seattle could come up and get him. They need a tackle. But, you know, if you're sitting here, I think you think of, do we draft Neal? Do we draft Cross? Or honestly, do we just take the bullet and bite? This is where we could get really, really weird. And it's possible here where they just say, screw it, we like Kenny Pickett enough, and we take Kenny Pickett. But I also do feel like they really need
to
tackle.
What about Willis here?
That wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if they would take Willis. But all the smoke around them has been towards Kenny Pickett. So that would be a surprising pick, but it wouldn't surprise. I mean, it wouldn't be that surprising. I think everyone would be like,
it's not like a forecasted pick, but it would not be that surprising to me either.
No, I don't think it would. But when I try to lean here, you know, I think, you know, Fitterer's not going to be on that hot seat. Rule is, but Fitterer's not going to save Rule's. But, and that's kind of my whole thing. They have a lame duck head coach here, and I think they're going to look at that and say, okay, yes, we need stability at the quarterback position, but there's also two vet options in Garoppolo and Mayfield that we can bring in. There's no Charles Cross. There's no Evan Neal. I'm going to pick Charles Cross. That's my opinion here. I think that's who ends up getting picked here, because I think Fitterer does, you know, Fitterer just kind of came in, hasn't been there that long. Rule, on the other hand, is probably going to be out of here. And I feel like as a owner, David Tepper is not going to want his quarterback to come in a lame duck situation. That's just my feeling.
I agree with a lot of that. I think the head coach will advocate for a quarterback, but I think at the end of the day, it's really hard. That's a terrible offensive line. It's really hard to say that they don't need an offensive line, and I do think they can get Baker Mayfield for relatively little in return. I'm in agreeance. I think they would take Neal before Cross, but I'm flexible here, and I don't think it's going to end up mattering because the other one's going on the next pick anyway. So I'll go with Cross here to Carolina, and then I think we would both agree then that Evan Neal goes to the Giants at number 7.
This is another trade-out spot, I do think, though. Just my opinion.
Oh, I think the Giants really want to tackle. I don't know.
I do too, but I also think that they might like, you know, someone like Penning later enough to think about them. You know, they might, again.
I think this, in theory, looks like a trade-out spot, but the way we have this falling, I think they run up there and go take.
Yeah, I think Evan Neal makes sense. But again, there's always that mystifying rumor that if he is actually falling, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, 7 is kind of a fall for a guy that was talked about as potentially the number 1 overall pick.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I can't really argue for anyone else here. Maybe Kyle Hamilton, but that's really the only other guy. I mean, Evan Neal feels like the obvious pick here.
Yeah, I agree. Now let's move to Atlanta, a team that has a bunch of needs, none of which seem to fit this spot really well to me. They could take a quarterback, but they didn't seem like that. They weren't one of these teams that was just obsessed over the quarterbacks in the pre-draft process, like Pittsburgh, like Carolina. Their other needs are like interior offensive line, which is way too early, defensive tackle, defensive edge. Neither of those seem to fit that well here. Corner, to me, Sauce Gardner feels like the guy here for me. What are you thinking?
Oh, I'm thinking Jameson Williams. 100%.
Okay. I like that.
I think receiver is what they're going to do. Calvin Ridley, you know, suspended for the whole year. They're going to trade him regardless. They lost Russell Gage. There's a lot of it's a black hole. It's really Kyle Pitts and no one else.
Yeah, but is Williams going to play this year?
He probably will. You know, and also, I don't think they care. I'm going to be real. I don't really think they care here. If they think he's going to be the game breaker, they think he is. I think they're going to take Jameson Williams. I just don't see, you know, Sauce is good here, but they have A.J. Terrell, who's one of the best cornerbacks, you know, young cornerbacks, especially in the NFL. That doesn't feel like an urgent spot. I feel like they need to do something to help Marcus Mariota out offensively. He just does not have weapons aside from Kyle Pitts. I mean, really, it is a sad state of affairs in that wide receiving core. So to me, I think Jameson Williams is the one that makes sense here. This could be like a trade back scenario too, where they try to move back a little bit.
Especially if someone's coming up looking at one of those two quarterbacks.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I think they do think about Malik Willis a little bit, but I don't think it's kind of their MO here. I also think they have to think about Jordan Davis a little bit here as well.
They do need help on the defensive line. I just feel like this is early for him. And
yeah,
again, like a trade back, yes, here, no. I'm actually going to agree with you. I think Williams – is maybe not the pick I would make here, but I think it actually fits pretty well for what they need and the draft position. And again, we're lining up another SEC player to Georgia, which won't hurt anyone's feelings. Seattle at number 9, and this board right now with Gardner and Hamilton, you could certainly go defensive back. But to me, this is where Malik Willis goes off the board.
I disagree. I don't think it happens. I legitimately think that the Seahawks are on the Desmond Ridder train. That's my take.
Oh, okay.
I think they're on Desmond Ridder. And I think that here they're going to look at a few guys, not Willis. I think they're going to look at Sauce Gardner, because if you want to look at a Pete Carroll defensive back, boy, Sauce Gardner is a Pete Carroll defensive back. And then you look at a few other guys that are on the board right now. And I have to think Trevor Penning is someone that they like.
Well, this feels very early for him. But it's the Seahawks. That's the thing. It's the
Seahawks, okay? Yeah. It's the Seahawks.
I
think
this is weirdly early for a lot of people. Do not have Willis this high either, but I don't know. He just fits what they want to do on offense so well. If you're going to be a run-first team and you're going to run with your quarterback and then you're going to run a lot of play action, I really do think he's a very ideal fit for that, for what they want to do on offense as a quarterback.
Yeah, and again, I see where you're coming from with that, but I can't see them doing it. I really do think that they really like Desmond Ridder. And I think that's kind of the whole thing here is there. I think they're a trade back scenario too to get Penning or someone else. I think that they like Penning a lot. Here, if they're just sticking at 9 and they have to, I'm going to go Sauce. I think Sauce makes the most sense for them. Need a corner. He fits their Seahawk mold. I'm going to go Sauce here.
All right, I'm going with Malik Willis. I think this is where he goes off the board. And I think that fits for them as well. Let's go to 10 and the second pick for the Jets, which really feels very wide open and also a very popular trade-up possibility here as well. They certainly need a wide receiver. There are a couple on the board here. They also have an unmet need at corner after we went to tackle the first time.
Yes. So they have an unmet need at corner, but doesn't feel like you would breach here. I mean,
Booth or McDuffie. I still have Sauce on the board. So for me, that's
true. You have Sauce. I don't. At least for me, I wouldn't feel comfortable taking McDuffie or Booth this early.
Agreed.
So for them, you know, here, I mean, they have an interesting option to potentially go Kyle Hamilton if they really wanted to. That's a BPA pick if they really wanted it. Jermaine Johnson or Kyle Laftis could be the pick if they want an edge. I think they get receiver here with my board.
I think with your board, I would agree.
And like specifically, I think Drake London.
I totally agree. I think that's a great pick for them. But I don't think they would pass on Sauce Gardner if he's there to get Drake London. So I think I'm going to go with Gardner, but I agree with the way your board is right now that London would probably be the pick. Now Washington at 11, and this is another team that's all over the board. Could be half a dozen positions. What are you thinking for this team and what they need and where they could go?
Yeah, this one's tough because Kyle Hamilton's on the board and he's a nice fit there. But also, like, receiver, they do need someone other than Terry really bad. And that's kind of where I'm leaning here. I think receiver makes sense. I'm not sure which one they're going to go for. So it could be Garrett Wilson. I could see Chris Olave coming over here. I mean, I think it's one of Wilson or Olave. I'm leaning.
Totally agree.
I'm leaning Garrett Wilson right now, personally.
That's the one I would take. I don't really know which one they're going to prefer, but I agree. I'm putting Garrett Wilson down here. I just think this is about where he should be drafted. They need a wide receiver. He happened to go to Ohio State, same as the other guy they have. Like, it just seems to fit a lot. I like the pick, and I think it makes a lot of sense for Washington.
I agree. So I'm going to go Garrett Wilson here.
Number 12, Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings are very interesting. I think we could see Kyle Hamilton come off the board here. I think we could also see them take Jordan Davis. I also think this is a pretty good trade-out spot for them, to be quite honest with you.
Agree, especially like right now, if the Pittsburgh Steelers are feeling antsy about – the quarterback situation, this is a place they could definitely move up to get ahead of the Texans. I don't really expect the Texans to go quarterback 13, but like your board with Willis still there, that would certainly be an option for them. I don't think it's an option for Minnesota, but this definitely feels like a trade-out spot. It
does. And I mean, I'm basically thinking of two players here. I think Jordan Davis is maybe not their cup of tea. I'm thinking it's either going to be – I think this could be where we stop Kyle Hamilton's fall. I could also see them going with McDuffie, and he's a very real type of corner that they have targeted before. I'm leaning McDuffie here.
I'll throw another name in here that I think is a good fit. How about George Karloftis?
It could be. It could be. So does Neil Hunter, and they have some guys there. I think it could be him. I think that they're going to go DB or receiver, though. That's my feel of it. If, like, Garrett Wilson is here, they might go Garrett Wilson. I think that they're going to end up taking McDuffie. That's kind of my feel. They need a corner really badly, and they've just missed on so many. So they're going to go with the safest dude maybe in the entire class in McDuffie, who just does so many things well. Again, I think it's a little early for him, but
hey, you think they're taking him over Hamilton? Where he goes. I'll go with that. I think Hamilton's a better player, but I can see McDuffie fitting what Washington needs a little bit better. Or with Minnesota. Also, it looks good in purple. So, you know.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I think that they've been burned so many times at the position. So let's just go with the safest guy who's guaranteed to, at the worst, be a starting level nickel.
All right. Now we're back to Houston at 13. Again, a team with wide open needs. Where do you have them going here?
Tough one, because Jermaine Johnson here is a really, I think, interesting pick. Kind of could go earlier than this. So the fact that he's here is kind of interesting. But you also have Kyle Hamilton on the board. You'll have Hamilton to pick from, or you could decide to take a swing on Jermaine Johnson or Karloftis. And I think that's a really interesting kind of thought process. I'm going to go Jermaine Johnson here. I think that they're going to like the value of him here at 13. I think it makes some sense for them to get an edge rusher. I think he's right in that next tier with Karloftis. So I think Jermaine Johnson could go higher than this, but he falls to 13. I think they're going to value an edge rusher a little bit more than a safety. So, hey, your first two picks being Jermaine Johnson and Derek Stingley Jr. ain't too bad. I'll say that.
I agree. And I think the fact that they already went corner makes them a little less likely to go corner safety. So I'm in agreement on Jermaine Johnson here. I think he's a good fit. I think they kind of look, the decision they had at three was, do they go with the other edge or do they go with Stingley? We had him taking Stingley. Now they get the edge anyway. Johnson, obviously not as good as Thibodeau or Hutchinson, but still a pretty solid pick for the team there at number 13. Next, the Baltimore Ravens. And I have a very strong feeling about this pick, but I want to get your feelings first.
Jordan Davis.
This is Jordan Davis. This is absolutely where he's going. Yeah, 100%. It just feels exactly like the Ravens.
Feels like a Ravens player too. He really does. Like the new Hello Tinata, right?
Yeah, I agree. And then after that, Howie Roseman might literally like kill someone on the way to the podium to draft Kyle Hamilton all the way at 15.
Yep, that's what I feel as well. That's what I feel. So Jordan Davis, Kyle Hamilton, 14, 15. That's what I envision happening here.
New Orleans Saints at 16. And I have a feeling you're going to say Malik Willis.
Uh-uh.
No. Okay.
Well, listen, I would have the Steelers trade up at this point if I could. So I'm going to act like Willis ain't on the board. Because spoiler alert, Willis is going to the Steelers in this mock draft. Because again, I think at this point, you look at what the Steelers are looking at, and they're, and again, we talked kind of about Minnesota being in no man's land. In my opinion, that's what happens here, is that we're not doing trade ups because we're not trying to make it too exotic. But I think the Steelers move up to 12 and grab Malik Willis, and then you just put McDuffie at 20, which makes a lot more sense. But I'm actually going to draft Kenny Pickett here. I think that Pickett makes a lot of sense for them. I think he fits what they do. Pete Carmichael is still that OC, so he's going to bring most of Sean Payton's philosophy there. Doesn't, you know, need the deep ball as much, can work in the intermediate to middle of the field. This is exactly what Kenny Pickett does. That route tree that they ran in the Mark Whipple offense is exactly what New Orleans ran. He's going to be in a dome, so if you're worried about hand size, won't have to worry about it in the dome. So, I mean, it just makes so much sense to me. I think Kenny Pickett here makes sense. I'm going to pick Kenny Pickett.
I agree with everything you just said, but I also look at this team's wide receiver depth, and after Michael Thomas, it's not very good. And I have Drake London on the board, and with the Chargers and the Eagles probably not taking a quarterback between the Saints' two picks, I'm going to have them take London here and figure out quarterback the next time around.
Yeah, I don't hate that. So now the Chargers, I'm going to be real with you. I don't really know what the Chargers are going to do. They
does not fit this spot on the draft at all. They're not a team that has a ton of needs. You know, they just remade their whole offensive line last offseason. I think they're still a little bit light at tackle. I guess Trevor Penning could be an option here. He certainly is a right tackle, that they could pair with Rashawn Slater and make into something significant going forward. I kind of leaning that direction, but not strongly.
I mean, I could even see them. I personally am leaning this. I know they brought Mike Williams back, but Olave makes a lot of sense here for them. Like loading up on that receiving core. We know how they play. And I think with what they need there, I think he makes sense to having that speed threat. I personally think that they could take Chris Olave here and be pretty happy with it. I think Karlaftis has to be a little bit of a thought as well at this point in the draft.
You have Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, so I don't know where you put them, right? Like that's
it's just one of those things where you're like, okay, we can't have enough good pass rushing depth. And so
is this the place where the first inside linebacker goes off the board, Devin Lloyd or Nakobe Dean here?
It could, because Kenneth Murray stinks, but there's also, I'll say this, there's also the rumor. There's also the rumor we heard yesterday that Quay Walker was going to go in the top 20. This could be the surprise pick of the draft. Quay Walker at 17 to the Los Angeles Chargers. That would shake up the whole board. I'm not going to go crazy like that. I think I'm going to go Olave here. I think it makes the most sense. And I think Brandon Staley's philosophy of limiting explosive plays but making the most explosive plays on offense kind of fits with that. So I don't feel like they go with the linebacker in a too high scheme. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me. He doesn't really value the linebacker position a ton. I feel like if you're going to go anywhere on defense here, maybe Devontae Wyatt would be the pick. But again, the character concerns with him are kind of the big drawback there. So I'm going to go Olave, and I think that's what they end up doing. So I'm going to go Chris Olave.
I like this second round linebacker class a lot more than I like the second round wide receivers as well, especially since both of our boards have been pretty wide receiver heavy so far. So I think Olave is don't let this guy go any further pick. I think they actually need a linebacker a little bit more, but I'm agreeing with you and taking Olave. Also, the Eagles right behind are going to, oh no, because that would have been if they would have been able to sit there at 15 and 18 and draft Kyle Hamilton and Olave, that would have been about a perfect draft for them. Now I think they got a little work here without an obvious spot. Maybe they're the first linebacker off the board.
Maybe, but if you know anything about the Eagles, they are the team that does not draft linebackers early. I mean, at all. And granted, they have one of the worst cores in the league, so maybe they should change that philosophy, but they just don't draft them. Howie Roseman doesn't draft the top linebackers. I almost feel like this is a more likely spot for, like, Karlaftis.
I love their defensive line, though. Like, that's one of their best positions. I mean,
it is, but it's also
– Karlaftis is a good addition to, Graham and Cox and Hargrave and Barnett. But, I mean, that's such a good defensive line. That's just not the issue with this team. I have a hard time seeing them use a first-round pick on that position.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much you can argue and glean from some of these. They have needs. Corner, that go Booth here. I think that's a really interesting fit, Andrew Booth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's certainly one. I mean, outside of Darius Slay, I'm not really enthralled with their cornerbacks a lot. This feels a little early for Booth, but that's certainly an option. You know, Jason Kelsey, not a young guy. Tyler Linderbaum to draft behind him. It's not crazy.
I mean, but again, edge rusher is kind of weird because they signed Hassan Reddick. They have Josh Sweat, who are like two good players, but Derek Barnett hasn't really been the guy they thought he was going to be. And then Brandon Graham's 34 years old. I mean, they could use
Brandon Graham's older than Jason Kelsey. So yeah.
So, I mean, like to me, I would look at Carl Aftis here. I think I'm going to go Carl Aftis just because Booth is there. I don't think the NFL is as high on Booth as we are, though, in kind of these circles.
I agree.
So I think Carl Aftis makes a lot of sense here, kind of just to fill that void, be that base end, give a nice infusion of youth here, especially since I think there's going to be a lot of turnover after this year. So Carl Aftis makes sense to me. I'm going to go towards Carl Aftis.
I think I'm going to take Devin Lloyd. I think they need they absolutely need a linebacker here. And I, outside of Hassan Reddick, I'm not sure whether he's going to play strong side or he's going to move down to edge or probably a little bit of both base versus sub package. But like the rest of the inside linebackers, their off ball linebackers are bad. I like Devin Lloyd here.
Yeah.
And safe again at number 19. And I have them picking a quarterback, and I love everything you said about the Saints picking Kenny Pickett. And I just agree. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I feel like if there are no trades, which of course there won't be, but man, this is going to be an unpopular decision. And if the Steelers sit there at 20 and let Kenny Pickett go one pick ahead of them, but I agree. I have Pickett going to the Saints here where you had him going there at 16. Which direction do you have them taking this pick?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because they have a need to tackle now that Teron Armstead's out. So they could take Trevor Penning, which is, I don't love the fit. I mean, it makes sense though.
Yeah.
They've also, you know, I think Zion Johnson's an interesting fit here. I think that they could look though to the safety position. And I think this is one where you could see maybe a mild surprise where you see a Daxton Hill or Lewis Seen come off the board a little earlier than you thought. You know, PJ Williams is out there at free safety, but not exactly a huge. They could also look at the receiver here and take Treylon Burks. That's an interesting fit for them as well. And they do need
a receiver. I like that one based on your board because I had them taking Drake London, but I kind of like Treylon Burks here based on what you have available.
Yeah, again, you know, I could have them reach for someone, you know, Penning. I think it's really between Penning and Burks. I tend to lean Burks here just because they have such a huge need at receiver. They really
this could need also be for you, especially a trade out. If somebody wants a quarterback to get ahead of the Steelers, come on up because this is your last chance.
Yep. I would agree with that. But I think, you know, since we're not doing exotic trades, I'll take Treylon Burks.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And now number 20, the one that most of you care about the most, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've got what I would consider a pretty bad board for them, to be perfectly honest. I mean, the top wide receivers are all gone. The tackles are all gone. I have two quarterbacks off the board. And, you know, it's the Kyle Hamilton's gone. Jordan Davis is gone. It's to me, I have a pretty negative board for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to sit there and take Desmond Ridder at 20. I think they're locked into quarterback. I think 20 is reasonable value for him. They could maybe trade down a couple picks because I don't expect New England or Green Bay or Arizona or Dallas or Buffalo to be taking a quarterback. So really all the way down to Tennessee at 26. But if you're trading to Tennessee, they're probably coming up to take a quarterback. So I don't know who would be super motivated to come into this spot. I think they may try to trade down. But since we're not doing trades, I'm going to have them stick here and take Desmond Ridder at 20.
Yeah, I think Ridder makes sense there for you. I also think you look at the safeties, could be a pick here. Booth is on the board for you. I think Booth could be the pick, but I think if you're not taking quarterback there, I think it's Lewis Cine that has to be the pick for me, at least. I think that would be the pick. Obviously for me, I have Malik Willis on the board, so I'm going to take Malik Willis for them. Again, I don't think Malik Willis is going to magically fall to 20. I expect the Steelers to trade up, get him. That is my prediction. I think that Malik Willis will end up being a Pittsburgh Steeler at some point in this draft, but I had him fall into 20 because that is where I do think he ends up trading. I think that's where he ends up going. So Malik Willis is going to be my pick here at 20.
All right, let's we don't need to run out the rest of the first round here, but let's talk about who we expect the Steelers to take with the rest of their seven draft picks, especially since we both have them taking a quarterback. So it should make – I mean, we have different guys, but it should basically make the same projection the rest of the way. Now, maybe if they have to give up one of those picks to go get Malik Willis, yours will turn out a little bit different. But let's just keep it the same here and go forward with the rest of the Steelers' picks, starting with 52 in the second round. If they've got a quarterback already, what's a player that we expect to be available there that you like?
Yeah, so just kind of simming through the rest of the sim, I'll go with it. Pickens is off the board, which is kind of the guy you would look at. But I think
receiver, that's the guy here. I mean, I don't know what his average draft position is, probably higher than 52 pretty significantly. I think he's probably going to be very early in the second round. So maybe we can cross him off. That's fine.
I'm looking at three guys. Sky Moore from Western Michigan, who makes a ton of sense. Brandon Smith from Penn State, I think, makes a lot of sense here. And then I'm also looking at defensive tackle here in DeMarvin Leal. Those are three guys that they've shown interest in. Sky Moore, the obvious connection. He's a hometown kid. Tomlin knows him. Played with Dino Tomlin. There are a ton of connections there. Then you look at Brandon Smith. Olsowski was at his pro day, worked him out, made sense. Athletic linebacker, Steelers love him. And then you kind of look at Leal, who's this juiced up defensive lineman, the only pro day, by the way, that we saw Carl Dunbar travel to. So it's significant to me in that regard. So to look at potentially Leal being the pick here. But I think that they're going to look at receiver and feel like this is an urgent need. I know they've talked about 22 starters with a starting experience, but I think you look at receiver and say, yeah, there is a big hole here. If there's one urgent hole on the team, it is the receiver position. So if I'm at 52 and I see Sky Moore sitting there, I'm taking Sky Moore.
I agree with you that like a player like Moore or Pickens, Christian Watson, I believe is also a player in that range that certainly could be the option here. Jahan Dotson from Penn State, probably a little low for him, but I've seen him in that range. I'm going to write down Pickens because I just think the Steelers love him. And I'm not sure that for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem like I feel like the mock draft community likes him a little bit more than the NFL does. I'm not really sure why, because I think he's really good. And so he's a player I think is going to fall a little bit farther than people think. I'm going to write down Pickens here, even though he may or may not be there. But I expect this to be a wide receiver no matter what, regardless of who is available. There will be a player that will make sense for the Steelers to take at that position.
Yep, and I think that's going to be a receiver. And again,
Sean Metchie, a guy that we didn't name that I think could absolutely be there as well.
Yeah, and so and in my scenario as well, if they do trade one of their day two picks, that next pick's obviously going to be a receiver, I would think.
Yeah, I would agree. If you have another one, and now we've gone quarterback, wide receiver, what are you looking at pick 84?
Yeah, well, I'm probably looking defense at this point. Have a few depth needs there, future needs, if you will. You know, you will scout the offensive tackles on the board. Maybe someone falls. You know, maybe you try Nicholas Petit-Frere there, or a Darren Kennard, or a Braxton Jones. Could make some sense. But I'm looking at like linebacker, where you have Channing Tindall, Damone Clark, Darian Beavers, a few guys there, Asamoah. You can even look at like edge here. I think, you know, some guys that could be there that are interesting. I think like a Nick Benito, Sam Williams, Drake Jackson, someone like that, that could be an interesting type of player. But I kind of go back to a DB here at this point. I think they're going to try and invest in the DB part of this. So you have two guys on the board here for me in Brian Cook at safety. And then when you go down to corner, Joshua Williams from Fayetteville State. And I have two guys there that I think 84 makes sense for them. I'm probably Marcus Jones as well from Houston's a very interesting player in that nickel spot. But I think I'm going to end up going with Brian Cook here. They've shown kind of a lot of interest in him, some low key interest, but had a former with them at the combine, took him out to dinner at Cincinnati Pro Day. They obviously watched him closely at Cincinnati Pro Day as well. So he makes sense. They've shown a ton of interest in safeties. He's kind of the last of those top few safeties that are on the board. I'm going to take Brian Cook here at 84 to be that developmental safety behind Edmonds.
I think they do have a needed safety, but I'm going to a different place. I like Phil Mathis from Alabama here. I think he fits what they need on the defensive line, which is an injection of youth, talent, and versatility, and he's got all three. He's also giant, which helps as well. Really, if you look about this team last year, their number one problem on defense was stopping the run. He might be the most polished run defender from the interior defensive line position in this entire class. I really love the fit for him. And I think, especially with the team still not knowing what's going on with Stephon Tuitt, this is a position that makes a lot of sense for them to address early. I don't think it makes – there's just not as much depth as there are on other spots. I love the corners here, but I think there are corners later in this draft that I like more than I like the day three defensive lineman. I don't really think there's a guy there after this pick that they would expect to be able to be much help this season. I think you can get some help at corner later on. I'm going with Phil Mathis from Alabama. Perry and Winfrey, if he happens to fall from Oklahoma, would be great here as well. There are some other options, but I'm going interior defensive line. I'm going with Phil Mathis.
And I think that makes sense as well. I think that's a good pick. Now at 138, I think, you know, I'm in an interesting spot having gone safety at 84. So tackle, I think, is a pick here. It's the first time I could start thinking about running back. Again, it's a little early for running back, but it could happen if the right guy's there. And it's kind of interesting with the way this board fell. You know, Kyren Williams is there. I think that's an interesting pick. They were there his pro day. That's a fairly interesting pick. I mean, I could even look at receiver here, maybe, and double down this early, 2 and 4. I mean, that's not a crazy scenario. Danny Gray's on the board. I think, you know, Sky Moore, Danny Gray want to talk about getting some speed in your receiving core. But I think, you know, Miles Boykin was kind of the kind of injection of that second pick, if you will. So I think they're going to probably steer away from that with Boykin being added to the room. I look at offensive tackle, Zach Tom and Rasheed Walker and Max Mitchell on this board, I think are three really interesting players. Rasheed Walker, especially, is a fairly interesting player.
Crazy for someone like Braxton Jones or Kellen Deitch to be there either. I think both of those players certainly could be on the board here in the fourth round.
I think so too. And then, you know, looking at linebacker, not a great board for linebacker. Corner is a little interesting because on this board, Damari Mathis is still here, which I think would have to be
That would be a very interesting. This is also the first place I think running back starts to be a real option. I mean, Pierre Strong is probably going to be here. Tyler Algier probably going to be here. Brian Robinson, like that.
So with the way this board fell for me, I mean, Kyren's here, Pierre Strong's here. Makes sense to do that. D'Angelo Malone's on the board too. That's an interesting player to look at. But I'm thinking tackle makes sense here, but I'm just thinking, man, he's here at 138. You need that product. You need that, you know, traitsy cornerback. I think Damari Mathis is probably the pick.
And amazingly, I think Joshua Williams is the player. Like, I expect him to go higher, but he's on this board as well here. Let's just say, like, falling cornerback, right? Like, that to me feels like a good pick here. But I also really do like tackle. I think Braxton Jones or Kellen Deitch, you know, one of those guys that just, like, maybe can pass block and you're not sure about the rest. A pick in the Chooks mold makes a lot of sense here. But yeah, I think corner is very doable at this spot as well. Also, definitely running back, but I think running back, there are guys later on that you feel good about, maybe more so than those other two spots. I think tackle or corner here, based on, you know, the way things went. I don't know. This is a very interesting choice here, but I'm going to agree with you. I'll go with my second straight Mathis. I'll go with Phil and Damari. I like that. It's about where I expect him to be drafted. If a better one falls, great. If not, you know, Tariq Castro-Fields, Kalen Barnes, Zion McCollum. Like, there are half a dozen corners that are roughly in this range if it's not one of those guys.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me. And so now you have corner safe in my board, corner, safety, quarterback, receiver taken. I think those, you feel really good if those are your four positions taken in the first four. But now around six, you start to get to depth needs. And I think you really open up the board to really anything here, including doubling down at a position. I think you have to look at everything. You could double down at receiver. You could probably double down at quarterback if you really like a guy this late. You could take a running back. You could take a tight end. You could take really anything here, which is fun in a lot of ways. But I look at one specific guy here that I really think is going to end up being a Steeler. And he just exudes Steelers because he's the brother of another player. And I think Connor Hayward is who I'm going to take here. And again,
well, there's two 6th round picks. So, right. So like, we can kind of, no, is it 2-6 or 2-7? 2-7s. So
yeah, 2-7s.
You think it's Connor Hayward in the 6th? I think that's a little early for Hayward. I don't think anybody will take him before the Steelers pick again at 225.
I'll take Hayward here just because I think of the versatility he brings. Okay. And I think that they're going to.
I want to address running back before tight end. I think they have more depth at tight end than they do have running back. And I'm staring at Hassan Haskins from Michigan, who I think is a very Steelers-like player, runs really hard, very experienced, kind of the perfect handcuff type running back for me. So that's where I'm going with my 6th round pick.
Yeah, and I would think so. I mean, that's a good pick too. I just think Connor Hayward's one of those guys that they're going to prioritize here, and that makes sense to me. But in the 7th round now, 225, I'm going to double back and go running back here because I do think they need a running back, and I've kind of preached that this whole offseason. I need someone to take some of the load off of Najee. But I'm going to go Tyrion Davis Price from LSU. Big type of back, 6 foot 219. Makes a lot of sense for them. Has enough burst and speed at that size, though. More burst and speed than Benny Snell has. And he's got a little wiggle in him. Good in pass pro. Makes a lot of sense. They're at the LSU Pro Day. Kind of fits what they want that position. Can bring in some competition here and I think make the roster.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'll go with Hayward because I think he'll be there early in the 7th round where the Steelers pick at 225. And I do think that running back is a bigger need than tight end, so I'll go in that order. And that leaves us with 241, the final pick. And I haven't addressed safety yet, and I'm going to cross my fingers and hope Marques Bell from Florida A&M is still on the board because I think that he may not be. But there are a bunch of safeties in this range that I expect to be there. There are a lot of, like, just sort of at the back of the draft type of safeties. We talked about them when we broke down the safety position earlier, but you know, I think this is a good, actually, there's like a good herd of safeties here to pick from. They definitely need someone that, I mean, Miles Killebrew is a good special teamer, but that's it. Like someone that could be a little bit projectable to be this year's Trey Norwood. And you kind of like take him and you hope he can fill a small role and move forward. I'm going with Marques Bell from Florida A&M.
Yeah, I love that pick. And you know I love Marques Bell as well. Really fun player. If I hadn't taken a safety this early, like I would have taken him.
Yeah, at the Senior Bowl, it was just like, who is that guy? Because you don't even recognize the helmet. But he just really stood out to me in a great way, and that's my choice here.
He's a fun player. I really do like him. And now kind of looking back here, 241, haven't had a tackle yet. I feel like I should. I'll take Spencer Buford from UTSA. Pretty athletic dude, has a lot of traits that you like at this late point in the draft. Again, going to be a very raw player coming in, but it's 241. So you take a guy with good traits at the tackle position, long arms, can probably move inside to guard as well. So I like that pick here, 241. Buford had a nice season at UTSA. So I think this would be a nice pick traits-wise.
I agree. I think I ended up not addressing tackle, but you can't pick them all, right? And I think that I certainly could have gone tackle instead of corner there in what was that, the 4th round, where I end up with Damari Mathis. But you know, their depth needs either way. I do actually think they're a little better suited depth wise in the secondary than they are at tackle, so maybe that pick should have been a tackle. in hindsight, especially with Bell ending up as my seventh round pick. But I like where I ended up. I think you probably like where you ended up as well. I mean, I feel like this is a draft where the Steelers should be able to meet most of their needs. Even though I think a lot of people don't like the idea of them taking a quarterback in the first round, I think that they will. And I think that they can still really add to this team in a significant way other than that.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, if it ends up how I have it, which is quarterback, receiver, safety, corner, tight end, running back, OT, not the worst thing in the world. Again, they have a lot of needs. Could easily draft an edge or a linebacker, D-line. There's so many different ways they could go here. But I think it's a good draft. I think most fans would be happy if they ended up with Malik Willis and Sky Moore as their first two picks. That's all I'll say.
I think I'd be pretty happy with Desmond Ridder and George Pickens too. Although I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't know that Pickens would be there, but I do really like Pickens. And I do think that he is a player that is a little bit, I don't think he's overrated. I think he's properly. I think the NFL is underrating him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to fall a little bit farther than people think.
Yeah, he's super underrated. I love that pick at 52. That's kind of the dream pick for me, at least at 52. I think Pickens, legitimately, if he doesn't have the injury history, he's probably a borderline first-round talent. So you get him at 52. This is the type of pick the Steelers make and actually acquire a heist of a player in, and everyone looks back and they're like, how'd they get that guy?
Yeah, I agree. And I also have I'm five picks down before I come up to a player with that Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin were not at their pro day, and that player is Hayward. So, you know, I guess they're pretty familiar with him. So it's certainly a draft I'm picking from the players that the Steelers are very familiar with.
Yeah, it's not hard to mock the Steelers. Late rounds it is, but it's kind of hard to mock anyone there.
Yeah, I think neither of us took a Mac guy. That's a little bit unusual.
I did. I took Sky Moore.
Okay, yeah, right. Sky Moore. There you go. You got one. So that's it. We're very wrong. Let's just say that we will be probably like by the third pick very wrong, but we'll go forward with that tonight. Nick is going to be with Mike Osti. You're going to be live here on the YouTube channel talking about the draft as it happens. I'm going to be at the South Side. I'm going to pop in when I can, probably before and after the Steelers pick to get reaction from there as well. So make sure you check us out on Pittsburgh Sports Live. Hit like and subscribe to the notifications on the YouTube channel so you find out when we go live with Draft Talk tonight. And this is it. This is Draft Talk. Well, I mean, where do we keep going? We got the second round, the third round, but tonight, the draft, it starts. Get excited. We're excited. Thanks for staying with us all the way through this process as we prepare you for the NFL draft. Nick and I put a ton of work into being at Senior Bowl, being at Combine, being at Pro Days, all the film, all the college football watch before all that. We put a lot into this, so we really thank you all for sticking with us and listening to us and watching throughout this process. Nick, anything else before we wrap it up and hit the draft?
Nope. I think we're all good and we're ready to go. I'm excited for tonight.
Sounds good. We'll see you tonight. I'm Alan. That's Nick. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thanks for watching Pittsburgh Sports Live.